Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you and to receive a warm welcome. It's lovely to be able to hear people praying and hearing their desire to hear from our Lord on the Lord's Day, and hearing them pray for each other and the like. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that we are able to move from one church to another, and yet we can still feel so very at home. So thank you for welcoming me. Now, I want us to look at Hebrews 12, verse 3 together this morning. Many people love verses 1 and 2, and for extremely good reason. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a wonderful couple of verses, isn't it? But I want us to concentrate this morning on verse 3, which says this: consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. You see, there's extraordinary blessings to be a Christian, even though we live in a fallen world. We know what it is to be forgiven. I don't know if you can remember a time when you carried that weight of sin and those feelings of guilt, that you knew that you were accountable to a holy and righteous God. And that's a hard thing to bear. Maybe you're like that this morning. But as Christians, we know what it is to have the Word of God and to know that it is written for our goods, and that every word is true, and that we can rest upon it. We know what it is to have answers to prayer. To pray sometimes in a very ordinary way, and then sometimes to cry out to the Lord when we're in such grief or anguish, and we see the Lord answer in such kind ways. We know what that is, don't we? And if you're not a Christian here this morning, you won't know those things. But I want to commend the Lord Jesus to you. I want you to do what this verse says, just as I commend this verse to everyone who is a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is so important. It is so important, not just sometimes, not just on the Lord's Day, but every day. That if he is our Lord and Savior, if the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then every day must be about him. And so the first thing I want us to see as we look at this verse is that we need to think carefully about the Lord Jesus. And that's why I say to you, if you do not believe in him, that this is something that you need to hear today, that you need to think carefully about Jesus. And that's what this little phrase means: consider him. The word consider means to think carefully about something, particularly when you need to make a decision. So we might think carefully about whether to apply for a job or not. We might think carefully about whether to move house or not. We might think carefully about what schools our children might go to, or whether or not to send them to school, and to educate them at home. So there are things in life that we need to consider carefully. We need to think carefully. But there's no greater thing or no greater person that we can consider than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we need to think carefully about him, whether Christian or non-Christian, because he is the most influential person on your life, whether you know him or not. And that's really important for us to grasp. Yeah, he is not just some man that lived 2,000 years ago and walked a very small area, an area that if you put it on a map of the world, you put a penny on that map, you will cover the entire area, or maybe a two pence, depending on the size of the map. But he is completely influential in your life, because whether you're a Christian or not, he is the one that provides everything for you, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. And that if you are willing to accept that, that you can find out that even though you have sinned and fallen short of his glory, even though you sin against him day after day after day after day in a multitude of different ways, he still says come. He still calls you to come to him. And that if you come to him and humble yourself before him, he will save you from your sins. And he will give you things that you never knew were possible. A relationship with him. Peace in your heart. These are extraordinary, wonderful blessings. But if you're a Christian here today, I wonder if you realize what you have in Jesus. Whether things are going well or things are going poorly, do you see what you have in Jesus? What do you think of him day by day? Because what you think of him day by day will determine how you live your life. But will also determine how you interact with one another. How you will grow as Christians. How you have a responsibility to one another. You see, this verse is not speaking to us as individuals, although it is speaking to us as individuals, but it's speaking to us as a people. Yeah, did you notice? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. But consider, him is speaking to us as his people, and that we have a responsibility, not only that we consider him, but that we encourage one another to consider him. Later down in the passage, in verse 12, it says, therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And this is this picture of this journey, and that you are traveling together, and that you are to help those that are struggling. It's like the advice that we get when we go on a plane, if you're taking kids with you. They say in a case of an emergency, you put the life thing on yourself first. Don't put it on the kid first. Yeah, but if you don't do that, they will perish. And likewise, if we don't do what we are to do, it will negatively affect all those around us. So I wonder this morning, did you consider him, the Lord Jesus Christ, before you came? Did you desire to come and meet with your Lord and Saviour? Did you want to come not only to receive for yourself, but to be an encouragement to your brothers and sisters, to be able to help them? Did you pray for one another? Or did you come seeking something for yourself? Now, the Lord is very gracious, and even when we come often seeking for things for ourselves, he gives us good gifts. But he has given us brothers and sisters to love, to encourage, to build up. And if you accept that picture of the people of God as being like a body, everyone is absolutely necessary, because he has put each one where he puts them. Have we thought carefully about these things? The things that we have, the things that we take for granted, that he gives us. And in one sense, we can take them for granted, can't we? Because he is the one that grants them. We can come to him in prayer. We can come to his word, and we can ask him to speak to us. We can meet together Sunday by Sunday and during the week, and not do that alone, but to do that with brothers and sisters. You see, how we think about Jesus affects each of us. It affects how the church grows. It affects our witness out into the community. Do we take this seriously? And not just sometimes, but day after day. Because there is nothing better that we can do, is there, than seek to walk closely with the Lord Jesus. So in order to do that, we need to spend time with him, don't we? And not just once on a day, but throughout the day, to show our dependence upon him. Yes, we need to come and spend time where we can read and we can think and we can pray. You can't do that in a few moments, can you? You have to set that time aside. And that can be a battle. Yeah, that can be hard. And so I commend you to do that early in a day, so that if for whatever reason it doesn't happen, then you have time still. If you decide to do that at the end of the day and things come up, then it won't happen. But we are to cultivate good patterns so that when things happen that take us by surprise, we are already thinking about him, because we see that he is intimately involved in every part of our lives. But it takes efforts. It takes humility. It takes a belief that the Lord will meet us and bless us as we do these things. It takes removing excuses. That's what's being spoken of in verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. Notice two separate things. One is sin, but one is not sin. It's perhaps other things that get in the way that could be good things. Yeah, and the picture is of the athlete probably running without any clothes on, but certainly with minimal clothes, so there is nothing that can trip them as they run. Do we do that? Or do we allow ourselves little excuses like, oh, I'm so busy, I just don't have time? Or are we waylaid by things like it being beautiful weather and must get out to the coast or to the beach or whatever else it is? Yeah, lay those things aside. Yeah, if that is you, if that describes what you're like, come to the Lord, ask for forgiveness and start again. Yeah, you won't regret it. And likewise, you won't regret it if you don't know Jesus and if you come and you humble yourself before him and you confess your sin and ask him to save you. You will not regret it. Now, I came to know Jesus as an adult, and I went through all sorts of difficulties in my life prior to that. And I've been through all sorts of difficulties in my life since that. But what a difference it is to know that I have a Saviour who loves me and who is there with me in all these things. That there is a purpose in those things. And that he answers prayer. Sometimes he takes those things away. There's never hopelessness. We're never on our own. These things are extraordinary blessings. So the first and foremost thing I want to commend to you is to consider him, is to do that day after day. But then secondly, I want us to consider carefully, or think carefully, about how our Saviour was treated. Because we live in a fallen, sin-sick, broken world. And there are so many things out there that can do us damage. There are so many people out there who would like to do us damage. And we need to have a right view of the Christian life. So as a Christian, we have extraordinary blessings. And so many that we don't even notice or think about. But there are also challenges, and there are responsibilities being a Christian. And that therefore we are to live our lives in a certain way, whatever the circumstances are. Now, the people that are being written to in the book of Hebrews are people that are going through difficult times. They're going through persecution. They are going through doubts about whether the easiest thing is to just go back to the temple, to forget about Jesus. Because they are being persecuted day after day. They're going through all sorts of difficulties. But do you know what? Sometimes it's actually easier when you're going through the difficulties to keep going. But it's when the storm stops that you find it harder. In chapter 10, it says this, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened," so this is verse 32, "you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Notice they were being reproached, afflicted, they were going through sufferings, they were having their things stolen. And yet they were clinging on then, and so this is being referred to remind them to keep going now. And so it is to recognise, as we consider Jesus, that he endured from sinners such hostility against himself. To recognise that therefore that is what we are going to face as his people. And Jesus said that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him. Now, if you saw someone in Jerusalem carrying a cross, you knew that they were only going to one place. And it is a call to die to self every day so that we might follow Jesus. It is a call to be willing to suffer for him and to follow him no matter what. But that's challenging, isn't it? Because if you're anything like me, you don't like to suffer. And you don't like people to say horrible things about you. And particularly horrible things that aren't true. But so we are to look to Jesus. We are to remember what he did, what he endured. And we're told that in verse 2, that he is the founder and perfecter of our faith. I mean, that's an encouragement, isn't it? If nothing else. He is the founder and perfecter of our faith. He is the one that starts it, and he is the one that will perfect it. And the idea of this is that he is there all the way through. It's like the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. It's not saying, oh, at this point and at this point he is with us. It's saying that he is with us all the time. So he starts and he finishes our faith. We're to look to him who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And I wonder if you've ever thought about what that means, the joy that was set before him. Well, it obviously wasn't death, was it, that was set before him? So what was set before him? It was the salvation of his people. He was thinking about people like you and I. You know, that was the joy that was set before him. When my wife was pregnant with my first child, we had these two verses 1 and 2, that we reminded ourselves of. We knew that she was going to go through pain and difficulty as she bore that child. But we were saying, but remember the joy that is to come and allow that to get you through. And the Lord Jesus did exactly that. He didn't love to go through pain, but he was willing and glad to do it because he knew what it would bring about. That it would bring about the salvation of his people. That it was a thing of shame, of public ridicule to be crucified. You were you were either a murderer or a traitor. You were an enemy of the state. And that they ridiculed you in that death. They put you out there on a public byway so that you could be seen by everybody. They crucified you naked so that you would be shamed in every possible way. And yet the one that did nothing wrong ever was treated like that. And we are now aligned with him. That's how the world treated him. And so we're not to be waylaid when we go through difficulties, when people call us names at work. They call us bigots, or they say we are homophobic, or whatever other thing they choose at a given point in time. That we're to remind ourselves of the Lord Jesus. We're to consider him. And we will do that because we have been in the habit of doing that. You know, it's so, so important. I can't emphasize it enough that we have that Christ-centered focus. We're told it so many times and in so many different ways in Scripture. You think of the putting on the armor of God. It's the same sort of idea, isn't it? Yeah. If I told you that there was going to be a war in 5 days' time and I distributed armor to you, I would hope that you would put it on and try it and make sure that you knew how to put it on. And does this one go that way around or that way around and so on? And you wouldn't wait until you could see people with guns or you could see people with swords or whatever. But that you would try it on. And that's the point, isn't it? That you put on the armor of God every day. You remind yourself of all these things in Christ, that it is his righteousness we put in. It is his salvation. You know, that all those things are gifts from him. It is his spirit that we walk by. The Holy Spirit. And then when that day of hostility comes, that we are able to stand in it. We're able to stand against the devil's schemes because we've put on the armor of God. Not because we're some kind of mighty warrior, but because he fights in our stead. He protects us by the means that he has given us. It's so, so important. We are to remember what he has done for us, and we're to heed what he has told us to do so that we will stand. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. We're to have right ideas, aren't we, about the Christian life. So firstly, we need to think carefully about Jesus, whether we know him or not. We're to realize that to be a Christian will be to go through suffering, but also to be blessed beyond our understanding and our comprehension. And then finally, we need to think carefully about our Lord Jesus Christ so that we will keep going and growing. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, over the years, I've heard people, as we've talked about those that have gone through great sufferings in the past, the martyrs who've been burned at the stake and the like, and I've heard them say, do you know what, I would never be able to do that. I'd never be able to do that. And say, yeah, absolutely, you couldn't, but they couldn't either. Yeah, because it wasn't them, it was the Lord Jesus protecting them and keeping them. But do you know what, they heeded his call to be focused on him. Right? It didn't happen by accident. They considered him. And they knew that they needed to do that so that they would not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, there's all sorts of ways we want to grow, isn't there? We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Whether it's love or joy or peace, patience or kindness or goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or self-control. We need to grow in these things, don't we? And some of us need to grow in some of them more than others and vice versa. But the one way we don't want to grow is we don't want to grow weary or faint-hearted. And this is why it's so important, because so much of the battle as a Christian is in our minds. And that's why it's so important that we gather Sunday by Sunday, because we see one another. And when we're at home, We can forget those things. We can forget that we have brothers and sisters who love us and care for us and are praying for us, who want our best. You see, if we're involved in a war, one person's not going to win that, are they? You go off to war on your own. No, it's a togetherness. It's so important you fight together. And likewise, that we are to keep going together. That picture again of lifting your drooping hands and strengthening your weak knees and making straight paths for your feet. You're to make sure that you're walking well so you can help others walk well. And in order to do that, we need to see all that goes on in these verses in between. In your struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you've forgotten the exhortation that addressed you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. We're to see all the things in life that happen to us, that they are the Lord's disciplining of us, that he is discipling us day by day, and that it all comes from him, and we're not to take that lightly or become weary because of it. But we're to see that because we know that he loves us, the things that he allows to happen in our lives are for our good, for our growth. And that he gives us small things to get over. And that when we turn to him and he brings us through them, it gives us confidence that we can then come back when it's something harder, and when it's something harder still. You know, we don't know. Maybe we have faced our greatest challenges already, or maybe they are yet to come. But either way, we can keep going and we can keep growing if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, if we look to him, and if we work together. You see, even the Apostle Paul, in all his greatness, his great theological mind and so on, even he says that he had to learn. He says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him, Christ, who strengthens me. Yeah. He had all the advantages, didn't he? Yeah, he knew the word of God so well. He was used by the Lord to write scripture, and yet he still had to learn. But notice, he had to learn with coping with little and also with plenty. Yeah, we might think, oh, having plenty is easy. But no, with plenty comes responsibility, because we are to be a blessing to one another. But he could see things because he had that Christ-centered view, that he could say, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. He sees what's coming, and he sees that it so far outweighs anything that's happening now. You see, I'm sure that if you were in the midst of suffering and there was a button in front of you that said that it would stop the suffering, you would never suffer again during this life, but then you would be separated from Christ for eternity, you wouldn't press it, would you? You would say, no, bring the suffering, but be with me in it. Help me, protect me, keep me, teach me through that suffering. And that's what he does. And so we're to keep coming back to Jesus, aren't we? We're to keep fixing our eyes on him. And that's that picture, isn't it? In verse 2, looking to Jesus. It's not a fleeting look, like your child does when you're telling them off and you say, look at me, and they look at you for a split second and they turn away because they know they're in trouble. It's look at him, gaze upon him, wonder at him. Yeah, marvel that he would save people like us. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that comes through considering Jesus, thinking through what we have in him. Yeah, write a list. Remind yourself. When you're struggling, go back and look at the list and say, wow, look at all these things that I have. And do you know what? None of them I have brought about. They're all because of his grace. And then when you come across someone that's struggling and you don't know what to say, get that list out. And say, do you know what? I can encourage them by saying this. And I can remind them that the Lord loves them. And you can say, I'll go to that appointment with you that they're frightened of. Or I'll come and do that thing with you. And I'll be praying for you. And I'll ask others to pray for you. But those things only happen when we get into that practice. And so that's what I want to commend to you today. Is fix your eyes on Christ. Consider him. Think carefully about him. And that's so important for you if you're a believer. It's so important. But it's also so important if you're not a Christian this morning. Now, I plead with you that you would look into the Word of God, that you would speak to Christians, ask them to tell you about Jesus. But don't delay, don't wait, don't waste time. Yeah, come to him, put your trust in him, and you will not regret it. So, be encouraged, brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, we have everything that we need. The Lord gives us, in his grace, everything that we need to live for him and to live together as his people. So, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself that you will not grow weary or faint-hearted. Amen.